Hello and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And Gabe, you, I don't really know how to introduce this one. You are here for the shortest, you're supposed to be in Norway on vacation. You flew back, you're here for like 24 hours and then you're flying back.
I'm on vacation.
You are on vacation.
Okay. And if I'm speaking a little slow and not pronouncing my words correctly today, I'm a little tired. I got up at 2 a.m. in Bergen, or 2 hours east of Bergen, Norway, and drove through the windy roads on the mountaintops and cliffs to the airport, got on an airplane, flew to Frankfurt. The train connection between Frankfurt and Cologne is shut down right now. It's one of the most...
One of the construction projects that's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to take a bus from Frankfurt to here. You were nice enough to pick me up.
Yeah, from the train station,
I guess.
But real quick, obviously, it makes no sense to do that from Norway to get back to Bonn, Germany, and then go right back to Norway. It was for you. It was kind of an emergency.
My house is a crime scene. Now, I got a phone call a couple of days ago that someone broke into our house, and I don't know what they took. In about an hour's time, literally in an hour,
exactly.
You're
going
to drive me down to my house, and I'm going to meet with an officer or a detective from the Kriminalpolizei here, and they're going to take me through the house and collect any evidence that they can, footprints, fingerprints, anything that these people may have left in my house. I don't know what they took out of it. I'm going to find that out too.
You know how they got in?
They took a crowbar and broke the back door to our patio, our back porch. They broke that door and got in that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously a pretty dramatic situation for you. And
I've been taking it pretty well. My wife hasn't. That's the reason I'm here. We would have just come back from vacation on Sunday. I would have been fine with finding that out, but I had to come back and tell her what was taken. She's out of her mind.
Well, she's upset about it. And
I am too, but I just push that kind of stuff away. Maybe we'll find out when we're there in an hour. How sad or shocked I really am, but maybe I just don't care about possessions. I don't know.
It's just that at the end of the day, but I also understand you're on vacation. I don't know. That's the last thing you want to hear. I always imagine somehow finding out that a fire burnt down my place. Well, but this is, I think, maybe spot number two on the list, that you've had a really serious event happen inside your home, and now you got to go deal with it. I know this is a science show. We are going to get to the science. This is actually connected to some science we're going to talk about later in the show. But for now, we're going to head off to your house.
To the future. This hasn't happened yet. That's kind of weird.
We're about to find it. You haven't even seen it yet.
We don't know what's going to happen next.
Let's find out.
Science Unscripted.
Just pull in the driveway, huh?
Yes. He's in here.
Is that him?
It's gotta be.
Okay, so he's early.
He's on the cover.
Jo, ja. Können Sie die mich nachher oder eigentlich auch jetzt schon? Sie können, das ist ja Ihr Schlüssel. Das gebe ich Ihnen schon mal zurück wieder.
So right now, Gabe is upstairs with the two detectives. I'm outside, as you can probably hear. And the reason for that is one of the detectives was saying that if I were to go inside, I might breathe out particles, aerosols, and my DNA might end up on the floor, on the tiles, for example, where some of the best DNA can be collected from the perpetrators. And we don't want my DNA mixed up with theirs. And so for now, I'm waiting to find out what happened.
The guitar is safe.
What is missing?
They took my wife's jewelry. And they were looking for, I think, cash. They didn't take any of the big things. The TV's there, the PlayStation is there, the iPads are there, which is crazy. The tablets, I mean.
Weird. Laptop? Didn't...
They didn't touch the computer. And they've been in every room. They even sorted out the jewelry that they didn't want.
So they took, I guess, the good stuff, the silver and the gold, and didn't take the stuff that wasn't, that didn't appear to be valuable. So they had time. They went through every single room and left the big stuff.
My problem is right now that we cannot make it darker in this room. Do you have any idea how to get it darker? There's no...
Should I open up my soul?
Your dark soul?
You can take this picture maybe and put it there.
Yeah, I've got one. I've got a couple.
Oh, we could do it from the outside real quick, yeah. Probably. And then we won't step on anything in here.
Let's have a look. If we can make it dark from outside, it would be perfect. Yeah. So we get a better view on the footprints. Also ich habe zwei verschiedene Schuhprofile gefunden. Es sieht so aus, als wären zwei Personen in dem Haus gewesen. Das
kann aber nicht. He just said they found footprints.
For real? It's like in a movie.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, so that was our experience. Gabe and my experience with the detective Roland Steinke, who's really nice, really open to the idea of us walking around with the microphone. I appreciate that. I'm back alone now. Gabe has returned to Norway. And just to kind of summarize what happened there, and right at the end you heard a squeaking noise, like sort of sound. And what the detective was doing there was he had identified a place on the double doors that had been broken in through, where one of the perpetrators had gripped the door with his hand, with a gloved hand. He said it looked like the kind of glove that you would get at a do-it-yourself store for gardening. And he could see that. And so it kind of confused me at first that he would be looking for DNA on what appeared to be a gloved handprint. But what he was saying is that a lot of times we human beings, we can't help but touch our face. We do it automatically. We don't even know we're doing it. Even when we try not to touch our own faces, we still do it. So in that case, it's very possible that one of the perpetrators had put those gloves on and then rubbed his nose or rubbed some part of his face, hair, and then gripped the door. That is the hope, that that DNA would be a match for someone, or would match with someone in a database that he was going off the top of his head. But Roland said that there were 22 million people across Europe in that database, in that criminal database, of them 5 million from Germany, and that there's a possibility that they might get a DNA hit on that, and that they would therefore be able to identify the perpetrator. The shoe prints, he took a total of 4 shoe prints. I mean, because I was, to be honest, a little skeptical of that one. It seems like a hokey plot point in a cheap movie, taking these shoe prints with you and hoping that something will come of it. Again, that surprised me. There is a database. And he was saying that he got an internal message just last week that he was allowed to share with us, that a single shoe print had been a match for, I believe it was 4 other break-ins. And so they were able to establish that one person had been in 5 different locations based on that shoe print by comparing it across crime scenes. But that is where we left it and said goodbye to Roland. And if some of you are wondering at this point why we've spent this much time talking about a single burglary at Gabe's house, it's because it wasn't just a single event. It is a very strange coincidence, but just over a month before this happened to Gabe, it happened to me, and in a very different way. And instead of just sitting here and telling you exactly what happened to me, I took the police report that was printed everywhere. My neighbors could not stop talking to me about this police report. Oh my gosh, we read it. And how did you do this? And how did you do that? I took that police report, translated it into English. And what I also did is I put ridiculously dramatic music under this whole police report. It's way over the top, but it should give you a good spooky feeling, just like a docudrama or one of those documentaries on your favorite streaming platforms. And without further ado, here is the police report.
On the night of Sunday, June 23rd, an 18-year-old man from Bonn and a 16-year-old woman from St. Augustine were caught red-handed stealing a bicycle. when the resident of a single-family home returned to his house at around 3:15 a.m., he noticed the two suspects who were just about to push his wife's Pedelec and a hoverboard out of the driveway. He engaged the two in conversation so that his wife, who had become aware of the situation, could alert the police at the same time. They handed the Pedelec and the hoverboard back without resistance. They also apologised to the victims. The police officers who were called to the scene found that the two suspects had two bicycles with them. One of the two bicycles was listed as stolen in the police wanted list. The officers also found suspected burglary tools on the 16-year-old. The 18-year-old and the 16-year-old must now answer for suspicion of bicycle theft. The police advise that bicycles should always be parked securely, even if you're only leaving for a short time or if you park the bike on a fenced-in property.
Yeah, so that's the dramatic, overly dramatic retelling of what was an unnecessarily exciting night for me, coming home at 3:15 after hanging out with a Belgian friend of mine and walking up and seeing the gate to the kind of courtyard or whatever you want to call it next to my home. Seeing that gate open, it was my wife's e-bike, which had already been placed outside, was about to be stolen. And the hoverboard, for some of you out there, you might be thinking, what is a hoverboard? Kids can stand on them. And it's, you balance and you move forward, you move backwards, you can spin in circles, but it is based on the ground. And that's what they were trying to take. And I talked to them about that. And I won't go into every detail. One of the weirdest points was where the male perpetrator, the 18-year-old guy, asked if I could get him a job at DW. And the reason that came up was I was trying to tell him, man, you don't need to be stealing people's stuff. You're gonna end up in jail. You're gonna end up with somebody who's not like me, who basically beats the living crap out of you for doing it. There are other options. Go get a job. There are construction projects everywhere. Go work there. Do whatever you want. And then he asked if I could hook him up with a job here. And I could never introduce someone to Deutsche Welle as somebody I met robbing or burglarizing my courtyard at 3:15 in the morning. So that's not gonna happen. So yeah, weird coincidence that this happened to Gabe and that it happened to me, left us both wondering, is it a coincidence? Is this suddenly happening more often than it did before? It started first with us asking the detectives, who said, no, we can't really say that. We don't know if burglaries are happening more right now than they did before. What the data shows is that, actually, let me get to the most important thing that I found out amongst all the data I went through, which is that burglaries have dropped in about the last two decades by half. That you can say is true for most of the countries you look at. It's going to depend where you're living and what the circumstances are there. But there's been a major, major drop. And if you go further back, there was one study from the United States, 50 years, in 50 years, burglaries in the United States have dropped 80%. That means one burglary is happening instead of five burglaries. That's really significant. That's the biggest takeaway from all of this, is that we are in a much better situation now than we were before. What you can also say is that burglaries between 2022 and 2023 went up by 18%, at least here in Germany. And that's also mostly true for most countries. The numbers are rising. Why are they rising right now? Because they dropped off dramatically during the pandemic. Because if I were a burglar and the pandemic was going on, I don't think I would be burgling much because, you know, people are home. They're working from home. Nobody can leave. They're all stuck there. It was probably, I'd never thought about this before, probably the worst time ever to be a burglar was the coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic. So the other thing I was wondering is, how does Germany line up compared to other countries around the world? Is Germany as safe as it feels? Because Gabe and I have said on this show that we feel very, very safe here. How does it line up, at least in this specific case, with burglaries? And Germany is kind of in the middle. What the burglary rate looks like when you compare it across countries, this, by the way, is from Statista. It was sourcing United Nations data from the Office of Drug and Crime Prevention. And Germany has a number that is a little complex to explain, but it's basically 400. So this is for every 100,000 people in a country, 400 are going to be burgled. This was for 2018. These numbers will have dropped for every single country since 2018. But for now, this is kind of like the bar that allows us to compare countries at all. So if Germany is at about 400, that places it right next to Canada, also at 400. Slovenia, also at about 400. You go up to Switzerland, 450. So that would mean there are more burglaries in those countries than in Germany. Belgium, Austria, Australia. Now we're getting up into the 600 range. The UK, 715. Sweden kind of surprised me there, 780. So roughly double what you would have here in Germany. Denmark, 950. I don't know what's going on there. Denmark literally borders Germany in the north. It's very similar in a lot of ways. I don't know what's different about Denmark that causes that to happen. Chile, 1,000, and the country at the very top of the list in terms of burglaries, unfortunately, you don't want to be at the top of the list, but it's New Zealand with 1,350, roughly three times the burglary rate that you have here in Germany. Now, where is it safer? It's slightly safer or slightly better in Greece. It's slightly safer or slightly better in the United States. There, the number was 375 instead of 400 for Germany as a benchmark. Netherlands, 370. Ireland, 345. And down to Portugal, 222, so roughly half the burglaries that you would have here. I could go on and on, but this data is available. You just have to search for burglary rate in selected countries worldwide in 2018, and you will find it. And that gets to the last data point here. What time does a burglary happen? The answer is the opposite of what I thought. It's daytime is when it usually tends to happen. I have this image of somebody with, a ski mask on, and it's nighttime and they're creeping through the dark. That is not when burglaries tend to happen, at least not here in Germany. Here in Germany, if a burglary is going to happen, there's an 82% chance that it's going to happen between 10 o'clock in the morning and 10 o'clock in the evening. These are, at least right now, especially in summertime, these are daylight hours. And that would confirm what Gabe's neighbor said. He walked over because I think he must have seen the detective's van and wanted to talk to the police and told them that he heard something that maybe was a crowbar or something like it at 11 a.m. on whatever day that was that this actually happened. And so that would confirm this data that these activities tend to happen during the daytime. So, as I mentioned before, we are going to get into some science, the science of burglary or burglarizing or burgling. By the way, that this word is driving me insane at this point. It's such a weird word, burgle. And is somebody burgled or burglarized? It turns out that's just a difference between North American English and British English. North America tend to say burglarize, British English, burgle. And correct me, listeners, if I'm wrong on that, but that's what the internet seems to say. The word burgle, I was also looking at it for too long, thinking, where did this come from? It has a Germanic origin. And for anyone who is familiar with the German word for a fortress or a castle, it's a Burg, B-U-R-G. And in medieval times, you would have had a town, possibly people living inside this fortress. And if somebody were to burgle it, they would be getting into the Burg. That is the Germanic origin of what still looks like to me, just a weird word, to burgle or burglarize something. That's where it comes from. The idea of somebody penetrating an area that they should not be in. The science, real quickly here, artificial intelligence, it will probably help us in the future to avoid the kind of events that happened to Gabe and me. How could it do that? This is research originally done in Chicago, but then seven major cities, where they just analyzed there was violent crime and then also property crime data that they had access to. And they created a predictive AI tool that could say and I'm going to quote what the researchers say here. They said with 90% accuracy, they could predict 1 week in advance where a crime was going to happen. The more I looked into it, because that's kind of freaky. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But the more I looked into it, this is, in fact, what they're able to do is take a roughly 300 meter by 300 meter block of space in a city like Chicago and say that next week something is going to happen within that block. That block is pretty big. But it is a sign that we're moving toward a future where, based on the information we already have available, like the information I was just saying to you, that these things tend to happen during the daytime, that you could have police more present where it matters to prevent these things from happening. Now, before that becomes a reality, because it's not a reality yet, what can you do? And that takes us to the interview that Gabe and I did 5 months ago. And I cannot believe this, that 5 months ago, we were talking about this topic and accidentally predicting what was going to happen to us. We're going to come across here for your listeners as either prescient, meaning we could see the future before it happened, or really, really stupid, because we saw the future coming and we did nothing to prevent it, or both.
Science Unscripted.
Hi, my name is Patrick McConaughey. I'm a criminologist at the Max Planck Institute for the Study of Crime, Security, and Law. And recently I published a paper with colleagues from Leiden University using virtual reality to study environmental interventions and how they might influence average citizens' perceptions of fear of crime.
Personally, Patrick, I am really lax when it comes to crime prevention. I often leave my garage door open, the gates open. And when neighbors pass by, there have been some remarks like, what are you doing, Gabe? Yeah. There was a break in here. The polls are going to come. There's a lot of these racist attitudes. People are just afraid of what's going on the street. We live in a little German town, totally safe. What do I say to the pharmacist is one of the guys who always says it to me, like, what are you doing? What do I say to the pharmacist next time he says something like that to calm him down, to convince him or persuade him or explain to him that it's not as dangerous as he thinks it is in our neighborhood?
Personally, I think when you talk about attitudinal change at that level, you kind of have an uphill battle. I always tell friends, you can't argue rationally with someone coming from an irrational perspective. So the best thing you can do when someone says something like a racist remark of, you know, this demographic of people are causing all these problems in the neighborhood, what are you doing? Just simply, why do you think it's that demographic, and see how they, and then keep going for, okay, but I'm going to push you further. Why them? Why them? Why this? Why that? And eventually they're going to realize that they either have to contradict themselves or they don't have the answer. And I think that personal revelation that you make them experience is going to be far more effective than you just trying to give them facts. Because again, they're coming from an irrational place and your rationality is not going to help them see the truth.
Let's flip to another study that you did a couple years ago, which I believe you put, did you put VR goggles on criminals?
I did, yes. So for this study, it's called the Virtual Burglary Project. I went into prisons in the state of Pennsylvania for 6 months, collecting data from individuals who were currently incarcerated who had burglary experience. I put them in virtual reality in neighborhoods and essentially had them explore these neighborhoods for burglary targets.
Okay, so let's speak to our fearful citizens out there who may very well be in a situation where they justifiably feel like they might get burgled. Based on what the burglars did or didn't do with those goggles on, how can they make their houses safer, or how can they become less of a target of burglary?
So this is where I want to preface that this is a very American-centric study, and even more so two areas that would be a neighborhood outside of a city, just because I don't necessarily know if these results would replicate to Germany, because so much of burglary comes down to architecture and how the house is designed, which obviously is a very big difference in America to Germany. So prefacing that, you need to close your garage door.
Got it. Got it, Patrick.
It's the number one thing I took away from these interviews was a lot of times people who are motivated to break into a house look for laziness. It doesn't take them 3 minutes to walk in and grab $300 worth of tools and walk out. And when you advertise what you own, either directly by having your garage door open that they can see you have valuable tools or anything like that, or your garage door is open and then the door connecting the garage to the house is unlocked, you're pretty much just, you're kind of like, they're like window shopping in that essence. Or indirectly by, so one of the things I manipulated in my virtual reality neighborhood is I, next to the trash cans for the house, I included a large empty cardboard box for a flat screen TV, indicating that this, whoever owns this house just bought a flat screen TV. The participants really loved this house. They said, well, look, they got a flat screen TV, so I know they got that in there for sure. So some people would even take the TV, other people saw it as like, I don't want your TV. It's too big. I'm going to look ridiculous walking down the street with a TV. But that tells me you have disposable income. What else do you have worth of value? What else do you got in there? If you're spending $3,000 on a TV, you must have other values. So don't get lazy. You know, if you're just going around to the corner to the shop to get some milk or whatever it is, still lock your door, still close your garage, and then don't advertise that you might have profitable things, such as by not breaking down your cardboard boxes. So in the German audience, the breaking down the cardboard boxes, putting them in the right trash can, that's a really smart move from crime prevention.
And that was Patrick McClanahan, a psychologist talking to us from Freiburg down in southern Germany here, from the, or involved with, associated with the Max Planck Institute for the research of basically crime, security, and law.
Yeah, and with some pretty solid tips for people like me.
For you.
for me personally. I'm gonna start closing the garage door.
Yeah, you're inviting, you might as well, I guess you might as well put a welcome mat.
Yeah.
Welcome burglars.
My laziness has turned my house into a window?
Window shopping.
Window shopping for criminals.
Window shopping for criminals, yeah.
I've been there for 2 years, Connor, and nothing has happened yet. It's a testament.
I mean, I have to say, we have a
crime-free nature of the streets of Uncle Germany.
We have a gate that the kids leave open, and when that gate is open, you see our entire stash of bicycles. And I've always wondered, when's the day going to come where the kid leaves, one of them leaves it open, and all our bicycles are gone? Hasn't happened yet, which possibly contributes to my inflated notion of safety. Is it perfectly safe? No. Is my assumption about safety correct? According to Patrick, no. We knew. Without knowing, that was exactly what happened. This was 5 months ago that we had this talk, and then I guess technically 4 months later, and then 5 months later, exactly what we had discussed happened. Again, we sound like idiots in retrospect, talking so blithely, so naively, so joyfully almost about potentially being burgled, and now it's this big dramatic, traumatic situation both for Gabe and for me. It is, and I'm not exaggerating there. Anyone who's had this happen, your safe space doesn't feel safe anymore. It's a big deal having strangers walking around a space that you thought was yours.
What's the best way?
Is this? Am I going to have to be ready for the next time that this happens?
I think...
I am not buying an alarm.
No. I think...
Over my dead body.
I think you've saw... You can cheaply repair that double swinging door that they broke into.
Yeah.
You can do it on the cheap. The other option is, to feel safe, you get a better, sturdier door.
Door.
And then you don't have to even have that thought, what if...
Yeah. Because they can't get through here. The our front door, it's on the side of the house, but our front door... It's too heavy.
It's there. And then you don't need to ever think about it.
They didn't take anything. It's sentimental. A couple of earrings.
Gabe talking about what his next moves are, what he should do to make his house safe, protect in the future, replace the door. The nice thing, and I'll pass this information along, this was given to me by Roland, the detective. He gave Gabe a pamphlet, a little brochure that lets him see where he can go to get help on this. So if you have questions, probably, or you're concerned, you can probably call up your local police office and ask them for help. That's what they offer here in Germany anyway. And on the back end of something happening, they also offer psychological help. So if you're really upset, if you can't sleep anymore, if you're constantly waking up thinking you've heard something, thinking that somebody might be breaking and entering, then at least here in Germany, there is counseling for that. It may be available where you are too. Anything to say? Are we idiots? Probably. You're welcome to say that. Send an email and tell Gabe and me, ultimately, he's back in Norway. Tell us what you think. We are su@dw.com.
DW. Made for Minds.